objection.
I get what the rabbi says. But the essence of yeshivas, the same product of yeshiva, I learned in yeshiva in Mir, I learned in the Yosef, and in yeshivat Chadera. The essence is not to sit in yeshiva and teach in a bank. That's not the essence of it. The essence is to be a creative Yiddish mensch. Unfortunately, the way the rabbi describes it, it sounds like a stream of kushir bukhrim living the yeshiva. Unfortunately, it's not like that.
I'm only interested when I walk in. I want to see how many are Uno Kumaris. Simple as that. How many kids are there who are learning Torah? That's all I'm interested in.
First of all, it became a movement in Israel. I don't mean the Chivu movement, especially the Koyle movement, which is a very unfortunate thing it became. Very unfortunate. I've already discussed that with us as a story. They will help someone who has a beautiful chandelier in Bnei Barak hanging down, a nice chunk of suri. He's going to get help from Ezra Stoira. While in Pardes Chana or Givat Ada, poor people who don't know about Ezra Stoira will die from malnutrition. That's what I'm repeating. Die in Petach Tikva, in Pardes Chana, Givat Ada, in Binyamina, in Afakim, in all those places, in Emek, or some places. What I want to point out is the money that goes for the yeshiva, this is tremendous politics. Whatever politics you have, I'll quote Rabbi himself, what the Rabbi told me about Rabbi Elazar Zilber, that politics is worse than Yarago Baliovor, Avoid Azor, and Shvichos Domim. It's all combined. That's why, because of that money that goes to the yeshivas, and because of that money, could sit a guy over there, like Avram Shapira, could sit there and see how a man is being kicked out from the Knesset because he said a pussy, or he said that. I'm talking 2 years ago.
And keep quiet.
And the all money is not worth it. The only yeshiva movement, it's not worth it. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. So otnish katan in kareach.
I hear what you're saying.
That movement, as Beit Shammai would say, is zaharu. And from his own class came later on, Chachum, and said, kol tamid chachum sheish revav v'bigdo chayv mita, v'ik adam remita lo'olam abba. What does it mean, revav? If someone has got a spot, finish chayv mita, kill him, lo'olam abba, yes, no lo'olam abba. That's what it meant. Those guys are walking around with a ladder above him in the baguette. And that's why when I want to talk to a guy who was a lieutenant in the intelligence, and I want to explain to him that possible, which I didn't understand, in Parsha Smata Temasa about Melchemes Midian, he says, Datim Tazovoti, Datim, he doesn't want to talk about it. I says, wait a minute, I wasn't talking Datim, I'm talking about the Chemesh. Datim, Chassidim, Shchorim, Lo Rotzel. And he associates right away the Torah with the Datim, and there is nothing you could separate it anymore. And you know why? Because the yeshivas movement is big, they control money, they control that, but nothing comes out of it. Nothing comes out. Because his son, the very same lieutenant I'm talking about, his son doesn't know what Tisha B'Av is. How will we keep Israel if he doesn't know what Tisha B'Av is?
I hear what you're saying. So I'm looking to be able to remove the rough spots. But whatever you said does not negate the hard, cold, bare statistics that after this churban that we sustain, not only in Europe, of churban Ashkenaz, but in Asia, of churban Sfarad, the whole Arabic country, all the Sfaradim, and we are...
What about all the Sfaradim? What happened?
Where's Mitzrayim? Where's all the yeshivas in Mitzrayim, which they had? Where's Surya? Iran is gone. These were all Torah.
Well, in 1948, we had no Sephardic Jews who were learning.
Yes, they're gone now.
Every one of them, when they get the Leah, I remember very good when I was a child, you went to Sephardic Shul, you got the Leah, you had to read. And everyone read the same segment. Not like in Young Israel,
that
we have to, you
gone.
Read from Sheni to Shlishi, you read, we have to go make a combination. And unfortunately, me myself, I tried to prepare myself. By the time I get to the Leah, I forgot to Shlishi already.
But that world is gone. So it's two Holocausts. It's not only.
What God? We made it go.
But wait a minute. However it happened, whether it was a Jewish Hitler or a non-Jewish Hitler, those two worlds are gone. To be able to see in Eretz Yisrael that number-wise there are more Jews learning now than in all of the yeshivas that existed before World War II, to me, to this stupid mind, is mind-boggling. I can't begin to believe it.
And to this stupid man, I said, so what?
Okay.
So what's up with
that? He's saying
yeah.
that the yeshiva world is not producing Let me finish.
Yeah.
Is not producing personalities who can go out and meet the general Israeli society and behave in a method, a way of derech eretz.
What I'm saying is even marchikim.
I don't know that that's
even marchikim. That's what I say.
That's his complaint.
But now.
What am I going to do? Blow up all the issues?
But now we come back to Rav Kook, to Rav Kook's perspective. But we learned this week and last week from Rav Kook, and it's sort of like, you know, where what are you going to look at? You're going to look at the positive side of it. You're going to say, okay, here we're going to develop this positive side out more. You're going to say, ugh, we'll look at all the schmutz, and we'll define it by all the schmutz. I mean, where are you going to get your definitions? Like, you know, it's like a cliche to talk about the down in the hall. Where are you going to get your definitions from?
But it's something careful about what you said, a Jewish state. And I just wanted to explain to you, let's not delude ourselves. That's what I'm saying, we're in danger. We think we are a very healthy state. And I keep on saying, my wife's doctor, my gynecologist, came over to me, he did the most unorthodox thing. He came over to me, told me, look, your friend's mother is sick and she has cancer probably. And she does not want to believe me because she's a macrobiotic and she thinks she's going to survive anything and she's got cancer. You go tell them to take it seriously and treat it. Well, of course, you know, I was stunned how a doctor confides in me. But he's a good doctor, he's a Dr. Shlomo Manor, he's a good doctor. So I went, of course, slowly, the whole story was revealed. She didn't take it seriously. Unfortunately, she's buried now in Peterson here. But then again, you take someone who had already 3 heart attacks and now you shouldn't let him live to 120, and he walks with one bottle of pills here and one bottle of pills here, and he has something stuck here, and he goes, he gets excited, he knows not to talk to his wife, not to get too excited, and Baruch Hashem, he's alive and he's alright because he knows the danger. We are living in a time we don't know the danger. You go, you call it Jewish state. It has nothing to do with the Jewish state. 52%.
What are you going to call it?
Let's make it a Jewish state.
I agree.
Let's make it a Jewish state. That's right.
Okay.
Well, what is everyone going to call it? It's like where yeshiva is. So what where yeshiva is?
Well, I agree. It was you that, this is maybe a couple of years ago, was it maybe you talked to Nachum Goldman up in, you said that, I don't know what the conversation was, that this is the problem is here. There it's like a growing pain scenario to Israel. There it's like the baby is born and there's pain and it grows up and it learns and it's coming of age.
It's our little bunny.
And that's what Eretz Israel
that was for out. The first 20 years. Look, I was there in the first 20 years and I go there at least once a year. But in the last 20 years, unfortunately, there was a plateau and then there's a sinking. When you start kicking out people from Knesset, for saying posuk, I'm not saying what now.
Person,
don't you understand text? Because nobody before dares them. Don't you understand that when you sit over there, a Shapira sitting there with his calculates how much he gets from this government, how much he gets from them, and what Menachem Begin promised him, and now what Shamir is going to keep and what Peres is going to give him. They're sitting in making politica. There's nothing Yiddishkeit in there. There's even that much Yiddishkeit.
Yerushalayim is 55% frum.
Frum what? Israel is not a democratic state by any stretch of the imagination. Israel is not a democratic state because whenever they want to shut somebody up, they call these old British laws up. I mean, they don't have a constitution even. They make an amalgam of Turkish, British, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and they want to shut Kahana up. Or they want to keep them off the radio, or anybody, they want to keep them off the television. They effectively cut people off from the communication system.
So what are we to do? What are we to do? We know the problems now.
I'll tell you what to do. Give it to you, Bederach Moshe. Yeah. I mentioned it several times, but not within the context of these conversations. 30 years ago, there were a bunch of frum guys, young American boys who were sitting, sitting and learning in a place called the Jewish Theological Seminary. The reason, and they were learning well. The reason that they were learning was because they believed that to prepare them for the rabbinate in America, this would be the best place. A Talmid of Rav Kook, his name was Rav Yitzchak Kutner, at that time was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin
was on
on Stone Avenue, the old Pitkin Avenue.
350 Stone Avenue. I went there for 1 month.
The old yeshiva kind of stuff. You know, the old dirty, filthy towel on the roll. You know, what we left in Europe.
I don't know about that.
And he couldn't, and he could not see why these guys were there. So, what do? One of two things. You either yell, as the Agudas Harabonim did, that the conservatives are no good, they're chotim and they're poshim and they're liars and they are the downfall, they are the reason for the churban and so on and so forth. Or you quietly send a couple of people, among them the Mashgiach, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, into the dining room of the Jewish Theological Center, and you can talk to the boys. And you start talking. And you invite them down to Chaim Berlin. And you sit down and you ask them to learn. And all of a sudden, they leave the seminary and they're sitting and they're learning in Chaim Berlin. One whose father is a conservative rabbi. And the other one who finished the seminary and who sat down and learned in Chaim Berlin, who is a gigantic mechanic today. What's it talk about? You go and you talk to them. What kind of business is this conservative Judaism? There's one Torah, there's one Yiddishkeit. Now let's get on with it and finish. And those whom you can convince, you can convince. Now, I happen to mention this. Why? Because from this one, I know several. From this one Jew, whom he schlepped out as a young man. This young man grew up, as we all do, and is responsible for tens of thousands of Jewish families being from today. Not one, not 100, tens of thousands. That's Shitas Rav Kook, as opposed to the other Shitas.
He was the originator of MCS1?
No.
I didn't see what we were talking about, a solution.
No, it took off the ground.
Uh-huh.
It took off the ground.
He was the spark?
He was at the right place at the right moment. They had several before him, and that was it. Now, this is not a secret. I'm talking about my lifelong friend, and for 10 years my boss, Rabbi Pinchas Stolpe. Mm-hmm. His followers are very, very well-known conservative rabbi, right-wing. And he was learning in the seminary.
Was he still there at the NCSY?
No, he's not at NCSY. He's with the union, the parents
of
him.
Oh, right.
Simple as that.
But they're rather tied to answer me, which
but I'm, so
you
what
said
I'm, what I'm telling
solution.
You is, we're talking a solution in terms of the derech. Let's make it. How do you make it? The first thing Cookian philosophy says, that we drop all of the recriminations, all of the Dayitzaku, it's not going to help. I've got to get down there and start talking to these individuals one by one and be able to set up an intelligent political bargain. That will be of integrity. You'll get what you want, I'll get what I want, we'll have mutual respect, and slowly but surely we're going to solve the problem. Kahana isn't capable of doing that.
He's not
such an individual.
You see, we make more of him, but he happened to be someone who was outlandish in this case.
Okay.
Bolet, Blita, or is...
Okay. He stands out.
He stands out, right.
All right. And Knesset is a politically charged hotbed. And, you know, you want to be able to have personalities who can grab onto these hilarious hands.
It's an impossibility. You're not an impossibility.
Wow.
There's no way you could talk to someone in the Knesset. Especially, you know, we have the parsha of the Ruach. I don't know what it is. I was looking for it.
Korach.
Korach. It says Eikach Korach Malakach. I think that's a Gemara. I'm not sure. It says Ilakach, since he was a very wealthy man, he could advertise his issues. So today's the campaign. With money, you advertise the issues. Look, those who have the money are not bothered by it.
By the way, you know what it was. The American Congress for the first... up until the Civil War, had exactly the same kind of nature that the Israeli Knesset has. I mean, that the people did the most outlandish things in the American Congress. I mean, during the debates before the Civil War about slavery, one guy said something, another guy got up, beat him with a stick so much that they carried him out on a stretcher. The guy who was beaten, I think, was the senator from South Carolina.
From South Carolina.
I think it was the senator from South Carolina.
Yeah. Was the guy arrested? No, you know, people may think Nakahana is outlandish, but you see, these are the people that are the catalysts. These are the ones that may ultimately never make the change personally, but they're the ones that accentuate what people think.
Bacon in his day was no different than Kahana.
So, you know, Kahana is a great value to the
Bacon state. Bacon fought against the British. He fought against the Arabs. Kahana is fighting against a true war. He fights against self-destructiveness. You see, you could fight your enemy outside. You don't have to warn much. But when we start telling that the Arabs are not so bad, they are nice, and we have on television here a Jewish lawyer who's crying, oh, why, tears rolling down because they kicked out an Arab. You don't see the danger. All of a sudden, the other Israeli says, they're not so bad, Arabs. Let's live with them. They're good breeders.
Listening on EBD last night all for 5 minutes at night. I wish I had listened to the whole thing, but it was actually in English. Some Israeli, I don't know if it was an Israeli lawyer who was defending Palestinians in jail and crying about the torture and how the Israeli Secret Service does this and does that and making the whole dirty laundry in public. You know, it's like the poor Palestinians.
And to whom is he saying it? To the Goy Shevel.
Well, I don't know if the Goy Shevel was in the WVD at night.
Rabbi, there's only one solution, which I think. I don't have a solution. I'm not so smart. I think there's one thing. We must give Israel to the Israelis. We must. Because otherwise they lose direction. They're going to leave Israel every year. This year is going to be the worst year in 34 years as far as people leaving Israel. We must take Israel and give it to the Israelis.
What does that mean?
I don't know what you mean.
I'll tell you what it means. You have an issue, you go to the people. You tell them, you see, this is the problem. We have here a city, it's called Shechem, or we have Agada, we have... Do you want it or don't you want it? Forces for and forces against will come and say... And then the nation will feel that they're taking a part of it, they're going to stop living. You know, now you have in Queens a new element of Israelis, a rich element. Up to until years ago, you had poor people who couldn't make it. They left. Now you have rich people who make it. This another neighbor, you know, we had an apartment in Israel, so we go there. One of the neighbors always wanted me to cash, and he's a wealthy man. He has the contract to build Talat HaYamim, the canal from the Mediterranean all the way to the Dead Sea. He has the contract. They invested already $100 million in this stupidity. And then because the government changed, so they start with the Levy and they stopped there. But then, ma ta tzarecha dolarim, ma ta metla dolarim. He says, when one day, now he's not a simple guy, he's a very important fellow. He says, one day, when helicopters are going to pick me up at Rehov HaYarkon from the American consulate to the Noset Matosim, to the airplane carrier, I'm going to have dollars in my pocket. But would you believe that the way of talking? Would you believe the way they talk?
Are you talking about evacuation?
Yes, because he's a government official. Then, of course, never it's going to happen.
Where was he born?
I hope it's never going to happen.
Where was he born?
Who?
The guy who's...
His name is Zev, and the name of Zev Jabotinsky. He's called after Zev Jabotinsky. He was born after Zev Jabotinsky died.
Born in Israel?
Yes, he was born in Israel, of course, an Israeli born. In Pardes Katz he was born. And he lives in Ramat Gan, my neighbor.
It's hard to believe that someone should say such a thing, though. That I want to have bucks in my pocket when they evacuate me from the consulate to the aircraft carrier.
Listen, we have this Sfarim Kedoshim. I'm not going to lie in front of Sfarim Kedoshim. That's what he told you, because I told him, what are you chasing after the dollars? He comes to me, I'll tell you, bank.
What are you telling me how to run the Israeli government? Go over there and tell them.
No, there's nobody there. There must be a group right here to start to tell the Israelis over there. Because over there, you come there, you are dismissed, you are nothing.
I thought you were saying the opposite. I thought you said you want to return Israel to the Israelis.
That's what I'm saying, but the force must start from here. We must scream this idea.
Force of those who have been alienated up until now.
We must. They're going to come back. Because if you talk to Israelis, well, you don't read Israel Shalom, I don't know if you do it. Mm-hmm. But Israel Shalom actually reflects the opinion of the Israelis. They simply gave up, picked up their hands, enough. That's it, I can't take it anymore. You know, in Russia, they didn't like you, they put you to the wall. In Israel, they tell you, talk to the wall. So what's the difference? one place they should put you to the wall, one place until you talk to the wall. And this is a very famous thing. The Berlachir?
Yeah.
Woo! This is the national war. This is the...
You're talking about they need more representative government over there, in other
words. No representative. Eliminate the Knesset. I would eliminate all Knesset. Take this Knesset, throw it to the Mediterranean.
What do you want to say?
Give the Knesset to the Arabs. I would give the Knesset to the PLO. Take it. I would give Israel to the Israelis. You have an issue, you go. You have now a problem with Levy. To build, not to build, that's going to cost, not going to cost. Go to the people, tell them the story. Tell them we're going to vote. Their issue is like that. We're going to increase 10 shkalim, everyone per month. Everyone has to pay 10 shkalim for the levy. Do you want it? If not, that's not going to happen. You go to the election. You're going to see how they're going to rejuvenate. All of a sudden, it's going to feel, I have a part. It's mine, because everyone actually wants to be his. You know, an Israeli is so intelligent as far as politics goes. You take it from one who didn't graduate 8 classes to the one who graduated, he has a PhD. They're all so involved in it, but the comes a time like the withdrawal, like this guy just told me he was here on a visit. Well, he does like that. Ma achpad lecha ma ata chaver Knesset? Like, you know, I look at him and I see all Israel in him. Like he does like that, with a hand like such a dismissive manner. Like, who the heck are you to worry? What are you, a Knesset member? What are you, crazy? You out of your mind? You worry about your own things. Don't worry about Israel. Live as long as you can live, then let Israel collapse. That's exactly what he told me. That's in other words that he told me. Because all he's interested is what kind of car. Look at Israel. No country in the world went and did a stupid thing like Israel. On the plate, the last two numbers is the year made of the car. Since they did that, everyone was running to buy a new car. Because he's embarrassed. This car is 3 years old. He's embarrassed. Because it says on its plate what year the car is. Now what kind of stupidity is this? Even my sister felt, by the way, she's going to be in the Mitzvah Shem for this Sunday in a week. She's going to come here. She changed 3 times a car. I didn't change my once. I still drive the same jalopy. She changed it 3 times. Her car costs much more than mine. $22,000. And she pays a duty in a tax, in a schmex, in all the schwarz you raise over there. They do it. Because on the plate, she has a number there. She doesn't need a car to begin with. They have the Peugeot from the farm. A Peugeot, it's like a little truck. She's embarrassed to drive nothing. Who drives in a Peugeot? A Peugeot is a...
It's not yet 40 years, and you expect to be able to cure a mentality that has been sick for 1600 years?
Just 20 years ago, just 20 minutes ago, I said that 20 years ago, it evened out. And I'm afraid it's falling down now. That's what I'm afraid. You know, I have a video at home which I've been doing every few years when I go to my sister, and you could see in the video I did a few years ago, you see my brother-in-law and his brothers, beards with paste, all city shiat, but they have a big farm. They have more than 100 milking cows. They have 600 dunam only with cotton. They have plains pesticide.
See them do those?
Yeah, look.
Wow.
By the way,
hey, I got news for you. That's an advance in another.
You know, Rabbi, I should show that. It just came to my mind this Sunday when I was showing my parents whatever for Shabbos. So I showed them Sunday. They like to see a little bit video. You know, 6 years ago, you see how my brother-in-law and his family are working in the refet, in the, how do you say that?
Barn.
In the barn. Then you see also the milking with the old automatic. Then 2 years later, in the video, you see already Arabs milking. Him to his end, you see, the whole thing is taken over by Arabs, and then you see our Arabs already, they're driving the tractor. I did not do it deliberately. I just noticed that it happened that way, because every time I would go out. Now what my brother-in-law does in the morning, he comes from shul, he doesn't get up anymore 4 o'clock in the morning, he gets up now 6:30, 7, he goes shul, mishmistabes, lavodu, avodu, and he comes to eat breakfast. Takes out his walkie-talkie, he starts talking on the field what goes on, is this mamtera open, then he takes his binoculars, and the Arabs are trying around, so this costed the Arab, $1,000 cost me the Arab, no daf again Arab, now those two Arabs stole a cow.
Wait a minute, and if you hit it here in America, what would you call him? A slick businessman.
I don't know, what would you call him?
A slick businessman. If he wouldn't do it,
that's the point. I didn't finish. That's the finish. I didn't finish the point yet. Why didn't I finish the point? Because that very same Arab, they stole a cow from him. And Mishmar HaGvul came. That means the border patrol. And by the shoes, they realized who stole it, and the minute they found out it was the Arabs who worked there, the father came out, he says, leave them alone, nothing was stolen, it was a mistake. Why do you do that? Those are Arabs, they stole you. He says, what do I need? His brother's going to come from Azra, he's going to poison my cows, and then I'm going to have all my cows poisoned. So I'm telling him, Atanaf Zain Rabiev. He's running a post secretary you're running, but there's nobody chasing you anymore. Look what's happening of you with the greediness. He's afraid. He's afraid to lose the Arab. He's afraid the Arab is going to harm him. So they're so delicate with it. Shabbos in a dorf, a Jew by mistake, drove into that place. And when he saw we were coming down from Shul, with the Talesim, he right there tried to make a U-turn run away. But unfortunately, it was too late. Someone came from the back, a few Sadiqim Gdoilim, there's a yeshiva over there. That's why I have so much respect for those yeshivas. He came out, stopped him. It was so hot. It was such a hot day. My sister, you see it, she didn't do anything. She saw she can't do anything. She anyway brought a cold bottle of something with cake. At least drink something, buy something. They were looking for a military camp. Their son is in the military camp. I asked her for the rabbi to send someone. I thought he's going to get away from it. Let him go. It was a big issue over there with that thing. Anyway, while the Arabs in the dorf keep their blessed radio with Arab music, you hear it from one side of the dorf.
Like I'm a crystal clear in the warehouse for the Hispanics.
Exactly like that. But you think you hear a lot of flame over there.
They got rid of a lot of the Jewish employees, and they brought in non-Jews where I work over the last couple of years. And now you got the radio blast thing, and you got the whole...
No, but you say, but if a Jew...
I make my money.
If a Jew will do anything, they'll kill him in that dorf. They'll lynch him. There was in the election, someone voted for Likud. They didn't know who. The rabbi wanted to turn this dorf upside down. Who voted for Likud? And the Arabs go around with the blasting radios with Arab music. This is called deterioration. Because they're not telling them anything. They're afraid to tell them anything. See, Israel is being deteriorated, and we're not realizing. I call my sister from Tel Aviv. I tell her, you take the car, go to Arad. My parents were in Arad. I'll come with the bus. She says, are you out of your mind? I'm going to go to Arad in my car. I said, what's the matter? It's an hour drive. Big deal. She said, if I get a flat, I said, fix it. She has a Renault. What's the big deal? Can't you jack up a Renault? It's a Renault 5, whatever she has. She says, the Arabs over there. She's afraid. Arabs.
I'm trying to push out
Don't mix up. I was looking a lot at the Meraglim, whether I'm saying Rechilu solution or I'm saying here because I'm trying to warn people something is sick and we have to heal it. That's what I'm trying to do.
Everyone agrees.
But nobody's trying to heal.
Nobody's trying, or we don't know what the medication is yet.
If we told the medication, anybody's going to be willing to apply it?
I think so.
I just said we have to give Israel to Israel.
I think so.
I think we have to give Israel to Israel. That's the last solution. Otherwise, we're going to.
Then again, you know that by nature people don't move until there's a disaster.
Until it's too late, Chas v'Shalom.
Sometimes too late. Okay.
Yeah. You see, it's not anymore a philosophical question in Israel. Right. Over here, we can make it philosophical. America is big, strong. It's not a nation, it's a system over here. And over here, we could have. In Israel, it's not philosophical. We have sonim all around that. If you read last week's...
And I believe that Rav Kook is the best motivator for people to take the medicine. That's
so let's use Rav Kook.
Okay.
Over 300 Russian advisors just arrived to Egypt. Did you read that? Over 300 Russian advisors arrived to Egypt, and all team of Egyptians are going to Russia. They want to accept now the SS-23, that's the most sophisticated missiles. They're making new deals, $20 billion. They're going to be paid in another 50 years, something like that. They're going back, Mitzakishim Piskalach with the Russians. Yes. We're having enemies there, and we somehow relapse. All we care about, what kind of restaurant could you go in Amsterdam? You know, well, an Israeli meets an Israeli in August, and the student says, oh, you became a snob. You don't go to abroad in August. You go now in September, huh? Yes, no. Look, I fall on the same kind. Here, my sister's coming. You know how much money that thing costs? Only in duty? Everyone is coming. You know what she does? She's a music teacher.
She's not entitled? You are, she is.
Well, the only difference is when Israelis come here, they stay in the Hilton. When we go there, we stay by friends and by relatives. They stay in the Hilton. They don't want to stay by us. Because when they go back, they say, I stay in the Hilton. It costs me $200 a day. There's such a mentality, it's unbelievable.
Well, you know,
it's
the same
mentality.
Go to Israel and stay with friends.
Yeah.
Look, let me tell you something. It was the same mentality when after the war.
Which war?
After World War II.
Yeah.
The Greener came, right? And they were getting ahead of the Yankee Americans. I remember, I heard it. 18 years ago at scholarship committee meetings at Hillel Academy. They can do this, and they can do that, and I'm living here, and I don't have what they have. Happened with the Russians also. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Good. What do you want to do? Send them back to Russia? Send them back to Hitler?